I don't know why.
Hey.
A lot of it has to do with this song.
Hey. I'm feeling a little better
today. I'm feeling better today.
I didn't want to hey the first
No, we've progressed. We've come a long way since Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, which is a good thing to see. And, you know, we have a good hour number two. We're going to go.
Healthy outlook on things.
A healthy outlook.
A healthier one.
And listen, it's not like you or either one of us is sitting here saying, you know, this is going to be
the suits
a
just went by our
they
team,
did.
Our team president, Alex Shiner, Brent Stelig, they're I don't know.
They're fired up.
They're hand gesturing to us.
They're fist pumping about something. I don't know. They like something we did.
I didn't see a thumb saying get out of the building yet, but, you know.
So that's good.
That's a good sign.
Maybe our good feelings are making them. They're still fist pumping over there. They like to see us. Got them excited. Yeah, we got the CFO, the CMO, the president, all excited.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Listen, so that's good.
A lot of power.
You know, and I am feeling a little bit better. Obviously, we got a good hour number two. We're going to go inside the locker room with John Hughes in a little bit. We got Aaron Wilson talking about the Baltimore Ravens with us at 2:30. And I think if I'm a Ravens fan, I'm not as optimistic as I think I was going into the season after seeing week one.
Oh,
and I'll be
God,
interested
no.
to talk to Aaron and see what the mindset is of that fan base and that team. But, you know, we have a guy on the phone who has been on the phone for about an hour, according
to
Dino.
For a couple days, I think.
And he's got a great name, too, by the way. Cherokee Ray he's an original Dog Pound guy. He's been on the phone for a while, so let's bring him on board. Cherokee Ray, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. And could you tell the greatest announcers, radio announcers, Doug Deacon and Jim Donovan, that they're going to honor Paul Warfield tonight at the great Mollenkopf Stadium at 6 o'clock, full life statue?
Yes, I'm aware of that at the high school, and in fact, we've got an item about that on our website, clevelandbrowns.com. So, very aware of that. Ray Inucci, who was part of the group that was organizing that, made us aware of it, and it's out there. So thank you for mentioning that, though, too.
Yeah, and I called to talk about Mingo. I noticed I'm all positive today, so.
Good.
With Mingo coming back, I think Mingo is Paul Kruger. I think you're going to be able to put him in words with J.J. Watt. And Desmond Bryan, you're going to be able to put him in words with the good defensive lineman down in Cincinnati. I'm really impressed.
I'd like to be able to.
Those would be nice comparisons if those are on, man.
I think that was tremendous moves that they made. Now, with Mingo, for what I see, he's going to be able to spy on that read option. He's going to be able to spy the quarterback or the running back or the tight end. And I think with him, his speed and his size in the intermediate passes, he is going to be a tremendous asset for the Cleveland Browns defense. Now, I might be wrong, but in that Miami game, it looked to me like Hayden was playing man-to-man and the rest of them was playing zone. And I think that's what tore him up.
Well, yeah, I think there are some communication issues going on in the secondary, and we heard admission of that from the players involved. We've heard it from the coaching staff for sure that there were some communication breakdowns. But sometimes you do, in the way of designing and disguising coverages, and I'm not going to go into the intricacies of how they were playing it, you can play both man and zone simultaneously if you're by design to give your quarterback one of those not being your actual coverage. The quarterback is supposed to think you're doing one thing, and then you switch off as you are in the course of the play to something else, and you want to bait him into doing something. But there were communication breakdowns. Guys were left open, way too far open in that first game. And you know, I think it's a function of that plus just how good is the talent back there. And I think you worry about Buster Skrien. We've worried about him right along. And he's I think he's miscast as an exterior or, you know, a guy playing on the outside corner. He needs to be inside.
He's got to be inside. And that's one of the things that I was a little bit frustrated by, or not frustrated, I don't know if that's the right word, but surprised. I was very surprised to see that after the entire preseason, when Buster Skrien did so well inside, even against Reggie Wayne in that week three preseason game, that he was outside because they didn't think Owens was ready. Now, I think that'll, as Owens gets healthier, that will go back to normal with Skrien being on the inside, but I still think Chris Owens is a matchup issue And we saw Brian Hartline had his way with the Cleveland Browns secondary cornerbacks. And I think that this is going to be a problem all year long. And what you hope that Paul Kruger and you hope that getting Mingo back, what you hope that can do is get enough pressure on the quarterback that they don't have the time to run those double and triple and quadruple moves that Brian Hartline put on Buster Screen for that touchdown. And, you know, I remember that when he had one caller saying, well, he should just grab them or tackle them. You got to be close enough to touch the guy to grab or tackle him in a situation right. like that. So no. I hope that Mingo comes back, helps them put pressure. You know, as far as the read option point of that goes, the only team that might run any read option against the Cleveland Browns that's currently on the schedule right now is maybe the Buffalo Bills in week five. Other than that, there isn't a single read option team on the schedule for the Browns this year.
Hey, Brandon Whedon spoke with the media yesterday. One of the things he talked about was breaking down the Ravens' defense. This is what Brandon Whedon had to say.
I see a very good, with Dumervilleand Suggs on the edge, I mean, they're, again, a good, very good front four. Nada's in the middle. He creates a lot of problems with the run. He's obviously a great player. But, you know, a lot of new guys in the back end as far as with Pollard and Ed Reed gone. But, you know, I see guys that are flying around that are very good very good secondary. I mean, they don't make a ton of mistakes. You know, I mean, you're playing against Peyton Manning, and he dices up a lot of people. But he, you know, like I said, that's a very good defense. You know, we expect it to be again, hard-fought AFC North games, like always.
I can't look at a game in which Peyton Manning has 7 touchdown throws and otherwise just obliterates a secondary and say, yep, that's a bad secondary. I think it had a lot to do with the guy throwing the ball.
Probably the best passing offense, or at least one of the top 3 passing offenses in the NFL. And I agree with you there. I think the one thing, and I've said it again, I said it before, and I will say it again, that the Browns have going for it is that there are new pieces there. One new starting cornerback. Obviously, 2 new safeties that are starting there because Bernard Pollard and Ed Reed are gone. So 3 of the 4 defensive backs are new, and the one that isn't new, Ladarius Webb, missed the second half of the season. So right. basically, it's an entirely new defensive backfield. So I do think there is an opportunity to, you know, exploit that, getting them in week number 2. I think that's the one good part about for the Browns that they're getting the Ravens so early, that there are a lot of new pieces in place on both sides of the football. But I would agree with Brandon Whedon. I don't think you can say this is a bad secondary, and in fact, I think as the season goes on, this will be a very good secondary for the Baltimore Ravens, and I think it will be a much tougher task going against this defense the second time around. I just kind of wish the Browns got him at home first as opposed to the second time. Brandon Whedon was also asked what he learned from playing against the Baltimore Ravens last year.
Well, I mean, you got to know that they're going to be a good defense like they always are. Obviously, there's a lot of new faces. There's a lot of new personnel up front and in the secondary. But that's the Super Bowl champs. They, as of right now, they, you know, everybody's kind of winging for them because they got the golden prize, and that's the Super Bowl ring. So, again, we're going to treat this. We got to come back, and we got to play better than we did last week and fix some mistakes and try to correct them to beat, again, and get a very good defense.
And we heard from Trent Richardson in SportsCenter, in the SportsCenter update by Dave DiNatale, where he referenced wanting the Browns pretty much to, again, stick to the game plan, as he put it, and run the ball more, that they basically stopped themselves in that regard. He was saying it with, he stressed with respect to the coaching staff still, but he definitely made a calling out point by saying that. There's no two ways about it. He Yep. made it public that he wanted to see more carries and wants the team to stick, as he put it, stick to the game plan. But this is what Brandon Whedon had to say yesterday about Trent Richardson needing to touch the ball more.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to touch it, you know, and I think, that's all situational. I mean, depending on where you're at in the game and where North feels like we can, you know, fit him in and do those things, he's going to touch the ball. I mean, there's no secret to that. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. He's got to be more involved and do some things in this offense, whether it's running the ball or out of the backfield.
As I talked about yesterday, in 2 games against the Baltimore Ravens last year, Trent Richardson averaged touching the ball 24 and a half times, put it up 120 total yards and a half a touchdown per game. And I think that those were very close games, and I think this year's defense is a little bit better than last year's. So I think if you can get a healthy dose of Trent Richardson and also have the guys up in front do what they need to do, he is going to have success. But I wonder about the fact that the comments are made in a public forum and if that is necessary.
I don't love that.
Right now.
I don't love that. I
You're old school, Notorious. I love it.
In this regard, I think you do your team a better service if you, when you truly feel things like that, By bringing it out publicly, all you've done is make it a great topic for sports talk show conversation, media conversation, whatever. You make a story where you it's already there. I mean, the issue of imbalance in the offense was discussed, obviously, from Sunday on. But I think for his part, if he truly feels that way, and I don't doubt that he does, you take that up with North Turner or you take that up with Rob Chudzinski, you take it up with both of them if you have to, and you make it clear. Now, he might have done that, by the way. He might have had the private conversation, but he felt the need to make it public as well. And, you know, this is where the guy who I talked with extensively going into this season about how much it, from his rookie education has he learned. He talked about things that like showing up to meetings on time, that matters in the NFL even more so than it did at college for him. And he was getting that. Eating better, taking better care of himself, not trying to rely so much on working harder but working smarter with his running style and knowing how to time things up with his offensive line, his blockers, his fullback, all that other stuff. This is part of the education too, how you handle yourself publicly. And I think last year he got so caught up on with the injuries and dealing with the rib issue and dealing with the knee surgery beforehand that he helped keep that alive by making it a constant source of discussion. I've seen and dealt with other players who have had similar ailments, if not worse, who have not spoken about it. Who, you know, even if it was understood and known, he left it to, if anyone else wanted to address it, great, but he wasn't going to make it the constant narrative about himself. And Trent mishandled that last year, but I said, all right, that's a rookie. I think you could be mishandling this. You don't want to keep this conversation going from your standpoint, even though so many, we agree that he's got to run the ball more, touch the ball more. There has to be more balance. I wrote this for ClevelandBrowns.com. I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm just talking about the way you handle it.
Well, let's hear what Trent had to say about getting more touches on Sunday.
You know, I just plan, you know, to do what Coach tell me to do. And whatever he got planned, I'm with it. And, you know, like I said, it's a lot that we still got to accomplish and a lot that we still want to accomplish. You know, we're not where we want to be. And, you know, there's a lot to learn from last game. And, you know, this whole week of practice preparation for Baltimore. And, you know, hopefully, you know, it is more touches. If it is or not, you know, I just want to come out with a W.
All right, that wasn't the more specific cut, Dave DiNatale, our producer, relative to him saying that he's got to get more carries or whatever is what the quote was.
I just don't really never think they really stopped the running game. I think we stopped it ourselves, yeah. You know, far as, you know, just getting away from, you know, that we was behind and stuff like that, and man, and you know, we just got to keep, you know, fighting and know that, you know, no matter what, man, we just got to stick to our game plan. You know, I guess Coach had another game plan, and you know, and it went that way.
So I have two thoughts about this. Number one, I say he wants to, you know, he wants to be the guy. I like that part of it. I think in the first quote he said, whatever Coach says, I'm with it, I support it completely. At the end, you could tell that he wanted to get the ball a little bit more than he did. I don't necessarily blame him for wanting to get the ball more than he did. I think he should want to.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if it's, in some ways, it is a different media era, because he's going to be peppered with so many questions, and he's got to be able to navigate that while getting his feelings out, but at the same time not drumming up controversy, I think. And I think that's a delicate balance, because I think his first quote, if all you took out of everything he said today was, whatever the coaches are going to do, I'm with it, I support it, that would be
if
one story.
If it ended there, it was great.
Right.
I don't even think you... Yeah, that's a story. That the story there is Trent's with the program.
So there are two quotes, he's totally with the program, one that Trent's not with the program.
That stick with the game plan is effectively what you're doing when you're second-guessing, and that is what happened. So I'm just saying there's a better way to handle it. I'm not disagreeing that the guy should get more. You cannot have a 53-13 ratio of pass to run.
That is not a winning formula National Football League.
It never, ever leads to success, I don't think. But
it does not.
Hey, we're going to get to the defensive side of the ball next. We're going to have a conversation between our own Jameer Howerton and John Hughes, one of the D linemen on this Browns team that is part of this rotation, and hear what he had to say about the fact that this team is playing a little short there. Ataba Rubin is hurt, so it's kind of changed some things, and just the general outlook of how this week is going from inside the locker room. That is coming up on a Football Thursday. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 40, ESPN 850 WKNR. We crash 'cause we both know how it's in.